the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.
You're listening to the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Backdrop, an audio drama by Anna Orridge, starring Mary Claire Wood as Laura.
She, the administrator, is standing right over my shoulder staring at my screen. It's one of those new ones that runs on the user's body heat. It's a miracle it's still functioning given her personal animosity towards me. Every time she looks at me, it feels like my insides are turning to ice.
Lean back. I can't see the screen if you hunch like that in front of it. You reported an error. At least have the decency to let me try to fix it. For God's sake, where do they find these people?
You can probably imagine that I haven't invited her over here for fun. I've lost something. Something important, and she's...
I'm sorry. Your previous backdrop has either been deleted or sold on. There is no error.
But why?
It could be one of a number of reasons. The existence of inappropriate content, violent or obscene.
Do I look like the type of person who uses her backdrop for porn?
There's no such thing as types when it comes to this job. Sorry, that came out rather abruptly. Look, because your memory of the backdrop has now gone, I can't really give you any guidance.
I sent it off too quickly, that's all. I want to see it one more time.
Not possible. If I were you, I'd get started on your next one. Here.
What's this?
New login details. Try not to lose it and don't share it with anyone.
New? What? Okay. Okay. I can't tell you how elated I felt on that first day working at Backdrop. Well, elated is maybe pushing it a little, but certainly relieved. Relieved to have any sort of job that didn't dehumanize me or make me work in horrible conditions. Since the withering, most jobs are pretty shitty. You can count yourself lucky if you find yourself laboring on one of the dismal living walls that now occupy the sides of old skyscrapers. Most of those walls are dying more than living. Great patches of yellowed leaves in summer and rotting mulch in winter. I could only pity the poor souls hauled up in harnesses to pluck wilted spinach leaves and nettles. There are way worse jobs than that too. It could have been me. It would have been me, if not for Backdrop.
Think you're a good saleswoman, Laura? Because I'm a fucking excellent salesman.
Great. A manager who thinks it's oh so edgy to swear in front of a new recruit. This is Marvin, by the way. He wears a cancer-preventing eye visor we all wear, but in a way that makes him look like a complete wanker. The wetsuit doesn't help. Many of us canoe into work, but most of us have the decency to shower and change into proper clothes when we get here. He must be sweltering. It's like a mangrove swamp out there. Smashed all the records the headlines would have once screamed. The sporting triumphalism has long since been replaced by a weary dread. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Marvin.
The reason I ask is that everybody in Backdrop needs to be a salesperson. Being employed here brings a whole new meaning to dream job. We are literally making and selling dreams.
That's all there is to it, then. Sit and dream.
It's a bit more active than that. Let me show you.
Sure, sure.
Well, come on then. Second floor, race ya.
Why are they all dressed like that? I get the wetsuits, but what are the eye patches for?
The wetsuits, as you refer to them, are fitted out with sensors, delivering touch, taste, smell, sound. We're creating a library of landscapes, experiences, you name it, captured before they all disappear. A sort of seed bank of the soul, I suppose. It will be invaluable to future generations.
You are? Wow.
You'll find your suit, named and labeled, third on the right. I'll wait out here.
Thanks. Thank you. Marvin, can I just ask? I know this is a bit out of order, but I want to know, I need to know why I got this job. A lot of people would kill for a position like this. It's not as though I'm qualified up to the eyeballs. Do you mind me asking?
Sure, Laura. Backdrop favors people around your age. Those born when you were have clear memories of the world before the withering. You're the lucky ones. Or unlucky, I suppose, since you remember the way things used to be. You are aware, of course, that creating the backdrop tends to wipe its creator's personal memory of the landscape and the people.
Yes. Yes, I did know that.
It's surprising how many people want to lose those memories. Get yourself changed. I'll see you in a moment.
Okay. Looks like this one's mine. I remember, I saw a cartoon once that showed what the human body would look like if size related to intensity of sensation. The lips and genitals were grossly inflated, as you'd expect, but what really stuck out in my mind were the hands. Huge and bulbous, hanging from dwindling twigs of arms. I guess this is what this suit will do to me. The suit's tight as latex. The strange thing is, though, now I have it on, it's like it's not there at all. Feels like I'm naked. I think the thing here in a glass jar is the mouth sensor. It looks like a crouched spider. I guess I put it on my tongue. Okay. It's fine now.
Good, Laura. All ready? So, what do you want to work on first?
I get to choose.
Oh yeah, sure. It's best for you to go with your own desires at first, so you feel comfortable. I'll show you my current backdrop. It might give you some inspiration. You'll just need to put these iPads on first.
Okay.
Backdrop. Take us to the casino.
A flash of white light, and now it's evening. And we're surrounded by tall buildings and neon lights, lots of people. The breeze on my skin is dry and warm. Marvin's standing next to me, but his wetsuit has gone, replaced by a white suit with a gaudy silk waistcoat. He flicks an imaginary speck of dust from the lapel.
Stag trip to Las Vegas many moons ago. God, I'm stunned I still remember any of it. let alone in this level of detail.
Then again, it's not just made up of my memories. That's the great thing about Backdrop. It uses old footage and internet records. Come on, let's go in here.
We go into a tall building with revolving glass doors. The lobby is plush with marble floors.
Go ahead, touch the floor.
Better than a draft of lemonade, huh? It's that chill in the air the conditioners can't give us any longer. Let's go into the casino.
We're in a huge hall. Men in suits, women in flinky low-back dresses and glittering necklaces. Roulette wheels spin with all the ease and grace of Victorian dancers waltzing under chandeliers.
This is next level Backdrop. Integrated tasks.
Tasks? But I thought the idea was just to create nice scenery for people, like they used to have before the withering.
Now, come to the table, sit down. Right.
Imagine you're a laborer on one of the vertical farms, sweating from every pore in a harness on the side of a crumbling skyscraper. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's honorable and useful work that should not lower you in anyone's estimations, but bit of a downer, right? Now, if you're doing that sort of work in a casino backdrop, with the clicking glasses and mirrors and all this laughter, it probably won't improve the experience. In fact, it might just remind you of how shit your situation is. You know, it's like being taunted. But what if each one of the wilted leaves you pluck from the wall is, in fact, one of these beauties?
He picks a black chip from the pile on the table and gives it to me. It's perfect, cool, and satisfyingly smooth. A bit like a piece from a set of drafts.
Now, put it in its slot on the wheel. So the leaf could be a chip, or it could be a winning ace flipped on the table at a game of poker. No longer is our little laborer a laborer, but card-sharp extraordinaire Scourge of the Casino. And of course, it's not just casinos. We have spas, beaches, and mountaintops. Best of all, the sensor suits create the illusion of a pleasant ambient temperature. Backdrop can improve productivity by up to 60%. Oh, God. I'm sorry, I didn't realize the time. I've gotta go now. Another new recruit. You can hang around here for a bit if you fancy. I'll show you what to do once you finish your backdrop, though. This is quite neat.
He kneels in the corner of the room near the table. A bit of the golden wallpaper is loose. He takes it and, wow. The casino folds in on itself like a piece of paper. It's gone in a matter of seconds, replaced with a great white shell of a dome that looms over our heads, cathedral-like. Marvin picks up the piece of paper and folds it into an aeroplane.
Complete. I can just aim this paper aeroplane at the wall and whoosh.
The wall just seems to swallow it.
You can do little origami animals instead if you like, and they'll crawl to the wall instead. It's a nice touch, don't you think?
Yes. I remember origami. When I was a girl, tiny paper animals all lined up on a mantelpiece. The sneer on my father's face as he picked up my favourite one, the dragonfly, and slowly ripped its tiny head off.
Yes, nice touch.
Don't worry. You don't have to do anything as complex as that for your first backdrop. Start with something simple and familiar. The kind of place you knew well, you know, that had a special place in your heart, but has now been flooded or burnt with cinder or whatever.
Can you include people too?
Yes, I suppose so. But we prefer you to focus on the place and the sensations. You'll need to bring some photographs in, though. And recordings, preferably. Footage is best of all. Good luck with those magic firing neurons, Laura.
And he fires these imaginary pistols at me from a pretend holster and walks backwards with a wink. As I suspected, Marvin reveals himself to be a complete and utter tool. Blue sky stretches as far as I can see. Hot air balloons, hundreds of them. Pinkish silver clouds.
Welcome to Backdrop, Laura.
As I watch the clouds turn to cursor arrows.
Please reach out and touch a balloon when you are ready.
I choose one with rainbow streaks.
Terrific. Let's get started.
The skyscape fades. And I'm in the middle of the same vast white dome that had replaced the casino.
Please choose your time and location.
Beddingfield campsite.
I do not recognize that location. Can you point it out on this globe?
The globe in front of me shows the planet of 50 years ago, before the inundation that has gobbled up huge stretches of coast and burnt great scorch holes of deserts into the center of Asia and Africa. I'm often struck by how incidental the encroachments look on maps. No clues, at this scale, of the billions of lives destroyed or displaced by those worming roots of blue. I spin the map round to the UK, and the area that had once been the coast of Cornwall, before the rising Atlantic turned it into an archipelago. A handful of islands. Suddenly, a series of photographs appear. Tents, caravans, the site shop, a tennis court.
Beddingfield campsite in Cornwall, England. Do you want to recreate the entire site?
It's the stream I was looking for, the one in the nature reserve.
Processing.
The stream rolls across the floor of the white room like a long yoga mat unfurling at my feet. I kneel and dip a finger into the cool water, feeling a cool, fresh breeze across my face. The sort of breeze we don't feel anymore, except perhaps at the top of a mountain.
Is this as you imagined?
Perfect. Yes, perfect.
Would you like to add flora, fauna, other features?
I can't remember the names.
Shall I show you? You could select from a menu.
And as I choose them, one by one, they slowly grow across the floor, bloom and take on the colours I remember.
How about insects?
Dragonflies, please.
Like this?
I was always scared of dragonflies as a child. They petrified me. Seemed so big and alien. I imagined bites and stings. The thought of one trapped in my tiny bedroom late at night. Now insects are so rare they're sometimes called flying currency. You can earn big money catching them and delivering them to the bug hotels, where they pollinate crops under huge glass roofs.
Temperature and light, correct?
I nod and I'm transported back to the chamomile tea glow of a perfect English summer's day half a lifetime ago. I'm in shorts. And I can see the colour of my legs changing from the pale, iridescent whiteness of my normal complexion to something deeper, a soft gold. Feel the warmth on my skin.
Is this landscape completed to your satisfaction?
Yes, thank you. No, wait. I'd like to add a person. Is that possible?
If you have footage, that should be achievable. Thank you for working with me today.
Thank you. I'm eating on the balcony at home tonight. The food tastes good, and I've long since stopped thinking about the ground bugs and chemicals that go into it these days. The sunset's amazing too. One of the few things that has become more glorious since the withering. It's largely the result of chemicals in the atmosphere, of course. They pump tons and tons of the stuff up there to try to reflect solar radiation back into space, or remove pollutants from the atmosphere. None of it really worked, except to give our sunsets breathtaking colours. But at the end of the day, you have to grasp any beauty you can find. Curves of those riverside skyscrapers built in the early part of the century seem beautiful tonight too. Their strange contours like sails puffed out by the wind. They act as massive moorings for the thousands of houseboats strung out along the bloated lake of the Thames now. As the evening starts to grow cooler, I go inside and search for the holiday snaps. Several albums full of photographs in the storage container under my bed. The white glare of summer shorts and the gleam of cars under layers of fallen blossom. But in the photographs, everything has a washed-out look, dun tree trunks and pasty skin everywhere. It takes a while before I find a decent photograph of my father. In most of the snaps, all you can see are truncated limbs or glimpses of his face from strange angles. My mum was never the best of photographers.
It's the scenery we want to remember, dear, not me.
Mum had managed to get one good shot of him, though. He and I are sitting at the breakfast bar. He regards me with his eyebrows raised, both amused and bemused. It captures your relationship beautifully, Mum had sighed. In fact, what it really captured was a precious lull in the steady onslaught of hostility. A rare moment where Dad could find nothing to fault in my dress, my behaviour, the way I nibbled my lip when I was bored or nervous, or the downward direction of my eyes when he yelled at me.
Sit up straight, Laura. Come on, concentrate. You won't make anything of your life if you don't concentrate on what you're supposed to be doing.
I carefully remove the picture from its sleeve and lay it in a book to keep it flat. Take a handful of old DVDs containing family movies. These should all help Backdrop to recreate his appearance, voice, and gestures. Almost as an afterthought before putting the album away, I flip the page. And there they are. The paper animals. All neatly lined up on the mantelpiece. The origami kit had been a gift from Dad's brother, who knew I loved craft and animals. Shark, squirrel, butterfly and swan. All beautifully folded. Not a single faulty angle or erroneous crease anywhere. I'd been so good at origami in a way I'd never excelled at any subject at school, or any task in the house. My mind races and I'm back at home. Mum's working late in the office, so just me and Dad in the house. It's a cold night and I help Dad lay a fire in the hearth. It's exciting. We rarely have a fire, even in winter. I select the driest and best kindling, logs from the shed, nurse the fire into life and warmth, watch the flames, slightly hypnotized by the dancing light, then sit back on the sofa to watch it grow and feel the heat take the chill from the room. As though in slow motion, Dad picks up my origami dragonfly from the mantelpiece, tears its head off and drops it into the fire. No! No! Pushing me back into my seat, he drops each one of my animals into the fire, one by one.
Now you know how I feel when I look at you. The frustration, the exasperation.
And all that I could think back then, all those years ago, was why? Why frustration? What was it he felt when he looked at me and filled with exasperation? Why did I need to know how he felt? Backdrop Dad is a good copy of Real Dad. Same head of thick, glossy hair. Same slow, curling smile. He stands by the stream, hands in pockets. An afternoon moon scuffed the anemic sky above us. I'd written his script earlier and fed it to Backdrop, so why the nerves? The sweat.
Mum tells me you had an accident.
Yes. Obviously my voice is wrong. I'm not 10 anymore. But everything else is just right. That same heat at the crown of my head. The squirming worms of fear in my stomach.
Well, are you going to let me see it then?
It's fine. It's nothing.
How did you do it?
I was cycling down the hill and the handlebar came off the bike. I lost control and it veered into a ditch, but I'm fine. I could see the anger rising in him. A heat, a redness around his face.
But this is unacceptable. We paid to hire those ruddy bikes. They should be checking and maintaining them.
It's just a bruise, Dad. It doesn't hurt anymore.
That's not the point.
All at once he has a hold of my elbow. The pressure on my skin and the roughness of the jolt shock me.
Ow, you're hurting me.
He catches a glimpse of the bruise on my leg, peeking out from beneath the line of my shorts.
Christ, Laura, that's awful. This is a doctor job, this.
And he's right. It is bad. A firework explosion of ugly plum and red port covering the upper part of my thigh.
I told you to check all the parts of that bloody bike before you got on it. We're going to that bike hire shop and we're going to show them that bruise.
No! No! He smacks his hand down on the bruise, his thumbnail digging into the flesh of my thigh. Fingers rougher than I remember.
Do you know what's wrong with you, Laura? You have no oomph. God knows how you're going to survive in the real world.
Backdrop, pause! And that's it. Freeze frame. For a moment, I'm a stupefied mannequin teetering in the snarl of his temper. Until I remember. I can still move. He's the one frozen in the moment. And they all flood back. The insults, the slights, the put-downs. A game of emotional abuse bingo.
You have no oomph. You need to be more gripful. People in the real world aren't going to take this shit from you, you know. Just wait until you're in the real world. The harsh world. Laura! Laura, what the hell are you doing? Laura? Laura? God, you're useless. What is this? Laura, what on earth do you think you're playing? Good grief, you want a job doing, do it yourself. Bloody hell, Laura, what do you think you're doing?
After Mum died, I found a box of puzzle books under her bed. They were full of word searches and crosswords, always with the face of a blandly made-up woman on the front. That half-hearted marketing ploy. You know, you're the kind of woman who likes this stuff. Harmless, and to my eyes, without any value or sentimental meaning. Yet Mum had them wrapped up in layers of bubble wrap and newspaper, like she was concealing her porn collection. And she might as well have been, as far as Dad was concerned. I remember the looks of contempt he'd give her if he ever caught her doing any of those puzzles.
Doing a little mental crocheting, dear.
Dad had been dead for 10 years, yet Mum was still trying to squirrel away the things he disapproved of. I feel this burning anger on her behalf. Slowly building, exceeding even the temperature of the scalding pavements of London in late summer, hot enough to fry eggs on, hot enough to grill flesh and char bone. And there he stands, the frozen representation of my father. I feel like I could reach out and actually touch him, handsome in a way. I can talk to him now without fear or interruption, without the constant stomach-churning worry about being belittled or contradicted, made to feel stupid. I did survive, Dad. The oceans boiled. They stink now, you know. And not the old smells of salt and fried food. It's a stench of sulfur. I know because I went there once. To that old campsite near the beach in Cornwall. No beaches these days, though. Just gnawed land and eroded cliffs. The poles melted, and most of the great beasts died out. The world's harsher and realer than the one you lived and died in. And yet here I am. And I'm old enough to know what you wanted from me for all those years. And I can delete those memories now. Every last smear of them wiped from my brain. I find that bit of the backdrop that lifts like a loose strip of wallpaper. Pull it firmly. Trees and plants fold into one another like the contents of an intricate pop-up book. Soon it's just a piece of paper at my feet. I bend and pick it up. I can still remember those origami patterns. The dragonfly. Fearsome name, ferocious colours, a dart of fire, now extinguished by Earth's fever. It seems as appropriate as anything. I start to fold, taking particular care of the double spikes of its wings and its long, tapered body. Complete, I whisper, laying it on the floor. The tiny paper creature flicks its wings and darts towards the white void of the dome.
In Backdrop by Anna Orridge, you heard Mary Claire Wood as Laura, Harry Reese Jones as Marvin, Kelly Costigan as the Administrator, Kelly Winkler as the voice of Backdrop, and Chris Gregory as Laura's father. Music, sound design, and soundscapes were by Chris Gregory. Sound effects were from freesound.org. Backdrop was adapted from her original short story by Anna Orridge and Chris Gregory. The presenter in this edition is me, Kelly Winkler. Backdrop is an Alternative Stories 2020 production for the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. We hope you enjoyed Backdrop. We'll post links to our actors and other information about Backdrop, including a URL, so you can read the original short story in our show notes for this edition. To read more by Anna Orridge, please read our show notes or follow her on Twitter, where she posts as @Orridge_Anna. Two R's, two ends. You can hear Anna speaking about Backdrop and her other work as a writer and campaigner on last week's podcast, Series 3, Episode 13, where you will also hear an interview with Kevan Manwaring, the author of Black Box, our science fiction, climate fiction drama, which begins next week. Here's a short trailer for Black Box with the voices of Danielle Ellett, Louis Watson, and Charlie Richards.
We were humanity's last hope. A message in a bottle cast out into the cold ocean of space, hoping to find a friendly shore. The Earth-like planet of Proxima B in the Proxima Centauri system. Our bottle, the Ark ship Ithaca, sent off to the nearest star, powered by dark light drive which harvested the universe's most abundant resource. Like a whale plankton, carrying the flora and fauna, seeds and cells needed to begin a new Earth. After nearly 20 years, it had reached the target planet, but a malfunction had left it stuck in orbit, running dangerously low of the most precious resources in the universe, water. The vast ship, 10 black orb-shaped biomes attached to the central hub, 700 miles long, hosted a portable tree of life. Genetically engineered breeding pairs from stored DNA, the recovery files of a biosphere with which they could reboot Project Earth elsewhere. Tropical rainforest, temperate forest, and grasslands. Boreal forest, savanna, Mediterranean, desert and scrub, taiga, mountain, freshwater, and ocean. The live feeds and data streams showed the kingdoms going about their animalia, plantae, fungi, protistae, and monrae business. Life signs were okay, the atmosphere breathable, but the water was getting tired out, silted, its chemical composition changing despite the filters. No human crew aboard. What had become of them remained a mystery. And time was running out.
Trailers for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents.
Captain Lake, given a choice between a life sentence and a one-way trip to Proxima Centauri, the former commander of the catastrophic Europa mission, had opted for the latter. To pilot a vast iceberg through space to the stranded Ark ship. 18.5 years into the mission, his daily rounds monitoring the condition of the ice his tugship pulled had become second nature. He could practically do them in his sleep.
King of the road.
Sentience, open up. I'm freezing my butt off out here. Well, might as well enjoy the view. That is one large chunk of ice. About the size of Iceland, they say. The most precious resource in the universe. A nimbus of thrusts along its flanks. Coronas like lunar rainbows. Listen to yourself, sounding like a poet. You're just a janitor. Sentience controls the thrusters, the navigation. You're just the icy delivery guy.
Decontamination and depressurization protocols commencing.
Captain Lake, welcome back.
Good morning, Captain. Did you have a nice sleep? Coffee?
F*** off.
The initial pilot season of Black Box will appear in three parts starting next Friday, 27th November. Please subscribe to Alternative Stories in your favorite podcast app to listen to all our content and have new editions delivered to your podcast feed the moment they are released. If you've enjoyed Backdrop, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or any podcast app that allows it. If you felt inclined to write a short review, we would be very grateful, as these help to raise the profile of the podcast. Finally, we'd like to thank everyone who entered our competition to win a copy of Faye Heald's album over on Twitter. As you may recall, Faye is one of the UK's foremost folk singers and was a co-writer of the drama Hairspell, which we released back in September. Her album Rackline has been voted the second best folk album of the year by Songlines magazine and has been riding high in the UK folk album chart. The lucky winners of the competition were Tanith Hicks, Rebecca Lambert, and Lisa O'Hare. And signed copies of the album should be with you very shortly. Please follow us on Twitter, where we post as @storiesalt to find out about more prize giveaways. Thanks for listening to Alternative Stories and Fake Realities with me, Kelly Winkler.
the Alternative Stories and Fake Realities podcast. Audio drama, poetry, fiction.